Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this fine food Friday, August 12th. I'm Ray Graff. Hot dog, we have a show for you today. Really, it's about the great American summer delight, the cooked sausage we call the hot dog, since it's the height of summer, and you're likely to enjoy a hot dog one of these days at a ballpark, backyard barbecue, or from a street cart. We brought in a fellow who could tell you a few things about hot dogs. Keith Dorman, owner of the Snap Dog hot dog carts that you can find in Brooklyn, Manhattan, and the Bronx. He is here. He has a cart, not with the orange umbrella, but a cart, and it's full of dogs. And we'll talk hot dogs today on Food Friday. Give us a call. Let us know. Are you mustard? Do you do the sacrilege and have ketchup? Get 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Food Friday after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff, and what a program we have for you. Forget about it. We talk hot dogs today. By definition, according to my producer, it's a cooked sausage. Here in the States, it's traditionally grilled or steamed, and it's served in a sliced bun. There are also variants of the hot dog, like the corn dog or pigs in a blanket. Typically, you'll garnish your hot dogs with something like maybe mustard, ketchup, onions, relish, chili, sauerkraut. You get the idea. Well, we're going to meet a guy today who has worked very hard to perfect the hot dog. Keith Dorman is the owner of Snap Dog, a chain of all-natural beef and sausage carts that you'll find throughout Manhattan, Brooklyn, and the Bronx. You look for the orange umbrella, and there they are. What do you like on your dog? How do you like them cooked? Give us a call. The number to call, we talk hot dogs today. It's a very important and weighty subject, one close to my clogged heart. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. We may or may not be having trouble with the phones. The engineers are running around. Zach, who always looks a little confused, looks a little more confused than usual. Oh, and he just flipped me a... Well, I'm number one. Oh, that's nice. So you can always email the program, voxpop@wamc.org. I'll be monitoring the email feed here with some success, I hope. 800-348-2551. And their phones may work. You never know. Keith Dorman, it's always like this on the program, but it's nice to have you here today.
Thank you so much, Ray. It's a real pleasure to be here. Appreciate that.
And boy, you brought the goods, man. You brought a cart. I mean, no umbrella, but you brought a cart full of dogs and condiments, and you made a lot of people in the newsroom happy. They haven't even had one yet, but they will.
Thank you. Yeah, it's my pleasure. You know, spread the love.
So how did you get to this spot where you are now owning and running hot dog carts throughout New York?
Well, you know what, Ray? My family's always been in the food business. Way back in the late 1800s, my great-grandfather, Nathan Dorman, used to deliver milk, cheese, and eggs by horse and buggy.
Wow.
From Hudson Street in Manhattan.
Really?
Yep. And then his sons, Lou, and my grandfather, Victor, took over the business. And then, while we're on the subject, in the 1950s, when they started to come out with vacuum packaging, they started to vacuum package cheese.
Right.
But what would happen is the cheese would stick together.
And you'd get a block of cheese.
Right.
Yes.
So my grandfather, being an innovator of his time, decided to put a slice of paper in between each slice.
That was his?
And forever altered the packaging of sliced cheese. And our cheese became known as Dorman's, the cheese with the paper between the slices.
Did you get a patent?
I don't think that's patentable.
Bet it is. If you had a good attorney, you'd be rolling in it right now, man. So you worked on Wall Street?
Yeah, well, what happened was, when you speak about rolling in it, that really wasn't an opportunity for me. My family sold the business when I was 17 years old.
Okay.
So, after college, I started doing various jobs. I ended up selling bonds on Wall Street.
You're kidding.
With
a D.
With a D.
Not with a G. Right.
Not with a G. That's
we got
right.
it.
That's right.
So that's cool. And so was that not for you?
I felt a little insecure, as a commissioned salesman. You never knew when your next check was coming. So I decided to give that all up and open my own restaurant.
Out on the island.
Out on Long Island in Port Washington, a barbecue restaurant. And, you can't have a barbecue restaurant without having a kids menu.
Of course, and the hot dog and the grilled cheese being the staples.
That's right.
Right.
Exactly. So the hot dog we were serving, you know, wasn't really like the greatest hot dog. It was a popular hot dog, but to me, it just seemed kind of lacking.
Yeah.
And just like the grilled cheese and just like mac and cheese and cupcakes and all these comfort foods that we grew up with that started to become made over.
Yeah.
You know, for example, the hamburger. How many times has the hamburger been made over?
You make a point.
I said to myself, where has the hot dog been? It's like this neglected, you know, neglected child. So, that was, you know, in the back of my mind. And then what happened was I took my mother's from Germany.
Yeah.
So for her birthday, I took her to a German restaurant and I ordered the wieners. So the wieners came and they had like a snap to
them. Oh, yeah.
You know, so I said, Snap Dog. I said, I love that name, Snap Dog. I said, Mom, I'm going to trademark the name Snap Dog. So I hired a trademark attorney. We filed the paperwork and the trademark office rejected the Snap Dog because of Steve's Snappy Dogs, I think somewhere in Colorado.
Okay.
They felt like that was going to be a conflict.
All right.
So what happened was my trademark attorney said, don't worry, I can write a rebuttal, because he had some case with an olive oil in an Italian restaurant. He wrote this unbelievable rebuttal. And a year later, we were granted the trademark to Snap Dog. So I thought maybe one day someone might be interested in the trademark, but he alerted me to the fact that you can't just trademark something and sit on it. You actually have to show proof of use.
How long do you have?
To show proof of use?
Yeah, you have a little time. There's a little grace period there, right?
I'm not sure if the
Well, we do a copyright show. We'll talk about that next time.
No problem.
I'll bring you up as Exhibit A.
No problem. Well, I felt the heat, so I felt like I had to do something.
Yeah.
So when I was selling bonds, I had a view down to the street from the trading desk, and I always watched this hot dog cart vendor on the corner as I was trying to sell my bonds. So one day I followed him back to where he stores his cart, and I remembered where it was. So I went to that garage and I talked to the owner of the garage. I said, I want to rent a cart from you. I want to sell hot dogs on the street. Well, I had to go to the New York City Department of Health and go through a whole class and get the food handler's permit, so forth and so on. But I did it. And for about 3 weeks, I was on the corner of 55th and Broadway selling natural casein hot dogs.
Ah, okay? And there's the snap.
With the snap.
Yeah.
So, but what would happen is if the water got too hot, the hot dogs would explode. So they would, not explode,
no, I
like
know.
An explosion,
yeah.
But they would open up in the
yeah.
water and no one would want to buy an opened up hot dog. So
right.
for every 10 hot dogs I sold, I had to throw out 10.
All right, so that's a problem.
That was a big problem. That was a big problem.
So how'd you solve it?
I decided to go skinless. Okay, that's where they use a temporary casing to make the hot dog, and then that's removed. So there's no casing to
okay.
it. And, you know, kids prefer that, and some older people prefer it.
Yep.
And people who don't want to eat sheep intestine prefer it.
Fine.
So
that's
so
what it is,
skinless.
Huh? I didn't know.
Yeah, that's the natural casing is made. They use the sheep intestine to as the natural casing.
I'll be darned. You don't put that on the sign.
Yeah, it's not something. Well, you have to put it on the label, you
right.
know. A sheep casing, it says. It doesn't say sheep
intestine.
Ah,
you see, there you go.
You know, they doctor that up a little bit there.
So didn't the Wall Street guys you worked with say, what the heck is Dorman doing?
Yeah, yeah. They said that. My parents said that. My friends and family. But, hey, we all got to start somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Make it happen. So I started selling the skinless hot dogs, but then I started giving out umbrellas to the hot dog cart vendors.
Yeah,
but I couldn't tell if I could tell because of the taste, but I knew that the public couldn't tell what hot dog they were really getting. And I said to myself, is there some kind of way we could brand each hot dog so that when somebody buys a hot dog, they'll be able to know what hot dog they're really getting? And at first I called like some laser etching companies to see like, you know, if we could like laser etch the logo.
That would eat into your overhead. All right. I mean, I'm not a businessman, but that would cost.
And it took forever. I searched everywhere I could. I called engineers. I tried, how could we put the name on a hot dog? And going through a PDF of a casing company's catalog way in the back. You know, because when you Google up stuff in PDF, doesn't really like little, you know, doesn't really come up when you Google it. So going through the pages of this company's catalog, in the back, I found that they were advertising hot dogs that had like stars and soccer balls.
So that's how you got the name on the the dogs.
Yeah, it's and so, a Spanish company, and a lot of some companies in Europe make hot dogs with the stars and soccer balls to get kids excited about eating hot dogs.
Right.
So I
which isn't that tough.
That's right. So I contacted the company, and we had some discussions. And the next thing I know, I was on a plane to Pamplona, Spain. Went to visit the factory where they make these printable casings. And then shortly thereafter, we designed the Snapdog casing, and it took like 3 months for them to make them and put them on a ship and ship them over. And then we started selling hot dogs with the name on it.
Okay, well, when we break them out after this first break, and then we'll get to the phones at 800-348-2551. When we break them out, I will see that the name is on there. However, if you're watching at WAMC.org, you may not see it, but I'm sure you have pictures at your website.
Yes, SnapdogNYC.com.
SnapdogNYC.com. Now, the other thing is, and hang in there, Jim, in North Pownell, you'll be first, and I just want to ask this question. You know, I've had my share of dogs from hot dog carts, and I'm not very picky, but there can be that question is like, well, what's in this dog? And I know that you are very picky about what goes in the dogs.
Absolutely. And, that was one of the things that I really looked into, was to find a manufacturer that could make the, I really wanted to step everything up. I wanted to elevate every component of the New York City hot dog experience. So I called on a variety of manufacturers. I had all kinds of samples sent to me. And believe it or not, I actually found a company not far from where we're talking today, our studio here in Albany, in Troy, New York, that they make my hot dogs.
What's the
today.
Company?
It's called Old World Provisions.
Ah.
And they're huge with brisket, pastrami, and corned beef.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So what they do is they get in these quality cuts of meats. They get the top round and the brisket.
Yeah.
And they all weigh. They have different weights to them. So they have to trim them so they all weigh the same, so they all cook evenly.
Oh, my God.
You know, they're doing like millions of pounds a week. You can't sit there and say, oh, you know, that one needs another 10 minutes. You know, that doesn't
matter. Oh, fantastic. So that's what's in.
That's
all right,
that's
I'm so hungry now.
Use.
This is ridiculous. That's it's time to take a break, and then it's time to eat some Snapdog. 800-348-2551. And then, of course, while I eat, we take the calls. So Jim and Linda and Michael, you'll be coming up. It's Vox Pop. It's Food Friday. We talk hot dogs with Keith Dorman, owner of Snapdog, and I think the newsroom might come in and take a few dogs in a moment.
Support for WAMC comes from Pekarsky's, South Deerfield, Massachusetts. Family-owned since 1948, offering sausages from kielbasa to Italian to bratwurst and smoked meats. Home of New England farm-made sausage. Open 7 days. Pekarskys.com. Cafe Capriccio. Chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grand Street in Albany, New York. CafeCapriccio.com. Elements Hot Tub Spa, downtown Amherst, Massachusetts. Offering hot tubs in 5 indoor or outdoor private rooms, plus a team of massage therapists for individuals and couples. ElementsHotTubSpa.com for gift certificates and photo gallery. Kern Compliance Services Incorporated, Greenwich, New York, and St. Paul, Minnesota. National compliance and regulatory consultants for life insurance carriers and their distribution partners. KernCompliance.com. And the Linda, WAMC's Performing Arts Studio, presenting a range of programming for the arts and community. TheLinda.org.
Vox Pop Food Friday. Ray Graff here, and it's the highlight of it's one of the pinnacles of my career. It's hot dogs today, and we talk real legit New York City dog cart dogs with Keith Dorman of Snapdog, and we have, oh my gosh, a couple of Lucases here. We got Dave Lucas and Lucas Willard from the newsroom. So you guys put your order in, and then we'll answer some emails and we'll get to the phones. What are you guys gonna have?
Okay, well, I'll have one with everything on it.
Okay.
Sauerkraut, onion sauce, ketchup.
Oh, you got sauerkraut too, Keith? Wow, that's
yeah,
all right.
Sauerkraut and my onion sauce that I make with a smoked paprika. Or is
paprika.
It paprika?
Paprika. What is that the way they say it down on the island? Paprika?
Right.
All right.
I don't know if you can see it, but there's the name. You see Snapdragon, the word beef.
Wow, that's beautiful.
On everyone. Because in the city, when you get a hot dog, you have no idea what hot dog you're getting. Is it chicken? Is it beef? Is it pork? What are these guys giving?
Yeah. And you know, I got to tell you one thing. Dave Lucas is here every day. Lucas Willard comes on Fridays, and I think it's coincidental that it's Food Friday, and then Lucas Willard is here.
It's not a coincidence, no.
No. Okay. So what are you going to have, Lucas Willard?
I'll do the sauerkraut, onion sauce, and mustard.
Please. Okay. So Dave Lucas is going to have, you have everything on there.
Sauerkraut, onion sauce, mustard, ketchup.
I forgot to mention, too, I have a spicy sausage, too, like a jumbo.
Oh,
spicy
yeah, I'll go for one of those in a bit. But, of course, I have to talk to people on the phone. So, that looks great. That
Here's
looks amazing. And
well.
It smells good.
Thank you.
Enjoy.
Dave Lucas, you're a lucky man. You're a lucky man. That's a real dog right there. And if you're watching, you can see Dave Lucas spill sauerkraut all over his Hawaiian shirt.
And then I'll sit in it tomorrow morning.
All right, Lucas Willard, here comes yours. Thanks, Dave. And then we'll get to the phones. We'll put your headphones back on.
Mustard, sauerkraut, and onion sauce.
So you make your own snapdog sauce.
Yes.
With what you call paprika, which I've never heard before. Paprika?
Paprika.
That's how we say it here on Food Friday.
Okay.
Keith Dorman of Snapdog. All right, so we'll get Lucas Willard taken care of, and then we'll get back to the phone calls here. And I appreciate everybody holding on the line. Oh, that looks good. That's your own sauce? That's your own onion sauce?
Yeah, we use fresh onions in there, and again, with the smoked paprika. Like a New York tradition, that onion sauce.
Yeah.
And it's interesting how when you go around to different parts of the country, there's different condiments, you know, that are regional.
Yeah.
You know, like you start getting into like the Coney Island, the Coney sauce.
Yeah.
Which is like the chili.
Yep.
And you'll never find it in Coney Island.
Really?
Yeah. It's amazing.
My buddy across the street there, Howard Glassman, likes a good dog, and he'll have some of that sort of chili-ish sauce on his.
Up north here, you have that. But down south,
oh, really?
It's very, very infrequent.
All right, sit on down. Put the headphones on, okay. Keith. We're going to take some calls here.
Great.
Hey, guys, enjoy that.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah. My pleasure.
Oh, I can't wait for mine, but not yet. We got some business to take care of. 800-348-2551. Jim in North Pownell, you're a very patient man. You're on with Keith Dorman.
Hey, I wish it wasn't a 40-minute drive from North Pownell to 318 Central Ave, because I'd go there and have a dog with you. But
Jim, I got to tell you, I'm not having one yet, but it looks and smells phenomenal.
But I got a recipe that I do for hot dogs that, it's not a street vendor type dog. It's a browned hot dog. I either brown it in olive oil or butter, then I slice it down the middle, and I put sharp cheddar, New York State sharp cheddar in it, and then relish, horseradish mustard, and homemade sauerkraut, and they are like to die for.
You can't lose with that.
No, that's.
And
that's
I would just like
combo.
To pass that along to everybody that's out there in Radio Land and say, hey, give it a shot.
That's the
give
way, you know, I got to tell you, browning it in butter is the way that my grandmother, who was of German extraction, always cooked them, and my mother, too. I mean, that's a good way to do a dog.
Yep.
It's a little tough. Thanks a lot, Jim. It'll be a little tough to do that at a food cart.
Yeah, they're restricted pretty much to the water, you know, the water, which a lot of people call the dirty water. But like I mentioned before, I want to elevate every component of the hot dog cart experience, and including the water.
All right. So how do you? I mean, it's gonna look dirty, right? I mean, how are you gonna fix that?
Beer flavoring. You have a hot dog simmered in beer water instead of dirty water.
So what do you mean beer flavoring?
I have a company that makes a beer flavoring. It's a non-alcoholic.
Okay.
And you just add a few drops of this into the water and you enhance the beer flavoring. Because if you were to add real beer to the water, you'd be wasting beer. And
unless it's bad beer. And it doesn't really matter that much. Okay, now I've done that as well. I've cooked, I don't know, if down on the island where you grew up, they had places called Lums. But up here, there was a place, I think it closed in the 70s, called Lums. And they were famous. They were a chain. And they would cook their dogs in beer.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so every now and then, if I get a bad beer, I say, kids, we're cooking the dogs in beer today. And they say, no, don't do it. But it's really good.
Is there such a thing as a bad beer, though, Ray?
Yeah. That's another show. All right, let's go back to the phones with Keith Dorman, and Michael in Pittsfield is next. Michael.
Hi. I just have a question. I am taking my children out this weekend to do a little camping, and I was wondering if, in your experience, is there a hot dog that cooks more evenly or taste better when cooked over the fire?
That's a great question. Kids are notoriously picky. I find the inverse of the pricing for, like, in other words, kids like cheap dogs. I'll sometimes get really good dogs and bring them home, and they said, well, get us blankety blank that you usually get. I don't know. What do you think, Keith?
I think, you know, if you were to choose between the natural casing or a skinless hot dog, if you're going to cook them over an open flame, you'd probably be wasting your time with the natural casing, because even a skinless will kind of crisp up a little bit and give you a little bit of that snap.
So go for a skinless dog.
I would get a skinless. I'd go skinless, definitely. Skinless. Yeah.
And does it matter for a brand naming? Is there a better flavor?
As long as you're not being paid by the brand, you can say it just if you happen to like it. But if you're getting paid, then we're into a real bad area.
No, I'm not being paid by anyone.
I'm telling Keith.
It's funny. Oh, not funny, but interesting that hot dogs are very, brands are very regional.
Yeah.
And people in different parts of the country are very loyal, almost to like they are to a baseball team.
Yeah.
To their brand of hot dog. And, you know, one thing that I like about the name brand Snapdog is it's universal. It's borderless. Whereas when you get into hot dogs that have like last names to them.
Yeah.
They become regionalized.
You make a point.
You know, in Pittsfield, I'm not quite sure of the brands that might be available to you. But, I'm sure you could find something.
Yeah.
Great.
Hey, Michael, thanks a lot for that call. This email came in from Pete in Toland, who says, yum, make mine with sauerkraut, meat sauce, mustard, and some raw onion. I think I know what's for supper. That's not a bad idea, Pete. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Another email came in for Keith Dorman here on a Food Friday. This is from Bill. Says, I know the star of the show is the hot dog, but most rolls are little more than limp sponges that fall apart before the hot dog is fully eaten. I look for firmer rolls, but increasingly they're hard to find, especially in the capital region. I suspect the rolls and bread have way too many preservatives. Please comment on the importance of the roll.
I'm so happy that email was sent, let me tell you, because as I mentioned before, I'm trying to elevate every component, and the roll is next. And I'm a meat and potatoes kind of guy.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like potato rolls aren't really much different than your regular roll.
I like a potato roll.
It's definitely a step above a regular, bleached white flour roll.
Yeah.
But it's not potato-y enough for me. You know, it's more of a potato flour roll than potato roll. And so it doesn't fulfill my meat and potatoes.
What are you going to do, put a hot dog in a potato?
I have developed. It's still in its developmental stage.
Ah, okay, good. You're letting us in on a trade secret here.
I am actually revealing it, but it's kind of like a cross between a crepe and a McDonald's hash brown.
Oh, you're kidding me!
Yeah, so it's like a potato wrap that wraps around the hot dog, and the guys in the cart.
Like a knish or something?
It's thin. It's thin. So what happened was, I went to a tortilla factory in Brooklyn. And I made like a mix together, and they put it through on the tortilla press, but it didn't have enough potato. It didn't work. I'm still working on it.
Yeah,
still working on it. And the other thing too, I don't like it to have it. I don't want it to be round. I want to have like an oval shape.
Okay.
So I actually went and had a tortilla press company make a special roller that had an oval that the cutout was oval instead of round. But the mix that I made, it wouldn't stay together and compress, and it fell apart, and it made a mess in this guy's tortilla factory.
So he was not happy with
it. So we're still working on that one.
Keith Dorman is the owner of Snapdog, a chain of hot dog carts down in Brooklyn, the Bronx, and Manhattan, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, your overhead must be incredible if you're doing all this research. What is a hot dog? Your prices are going to, I can't say prices, but they got to go up and up and up if you're going to do this much research.
Yeah, you know, from a business model standpoint, this thing, where you buy high and sell low, that doesn't really work so well for the bottom line. But, I want people to try my hot dogs.
Yeah.
I don't want to bash them over the head. And it doesn't really take that much more to make them right.
Let's go back to the phones, 800-348-2551. Papa in Columbia County. Papa.
Yes, thank you for taking the call. Keith, you mentioned when you went into business that you thought you would elevate your hot dog to the next step. And I'm wondering why you don't take another step, which is to go, I raise grass-fed, grass-finished organic beef. Why you don't go that route?
Interesting.
Yes, that's a great question. And I've thought very, very thoroughly about this. And I still have mixed feelings about it. But, and it wasn't so much about the grass-fed that I thought so much about, but it was more about what they call uncured, where they use celery powder or cherry powder instead of sodium nitrate in the hot dogs. And my feeling was that, you know, as people progress here and become more concerned about what they're consuming, the fact that the hot dog is a processed meat, I felt kind of that those people that were really concerned about those things would avoid eating processed meats to begin with.
That makes sense.
So I felt like we were trying to satisfy an audience that may not really even, after, you know, in the long run, even eat hot dogs down the line. But again, that was more about organic and curing. But the grass-fed aspect, it definitely deserves a second look. You know, the other prohibitive factor is the cost, you know, the cost factor of it.
Hey, Papa, have you made any sausages?
Papa and I raised these beef, so I've been selling Papa dogs for 10 years at least from my organic grass-fed, grass-finished. We happen to do no nitrates, but I hear what you're saying about that subject.
So, Papa, what's in your recipe, Papa?
Well, a German sausage maker makes my hot dogs.
Ah.
In fact, I had Old World send me some samples recently, and not certainly to disparage your product, but the samples I got from Old World didn't pass muster in my
opinion. Wow, I mean,
we're not going to give up on them either because they're a good company.
They are a good
company. I've had them make brats for me in the past.
Ah, well, you know, grass fed. Thanks, Papa, for the call. We've done a lot of shows on beef. It is certainly not an acquired taste, but some people really, really dig it. Some people not so much.
Yeah, it's interesting how you sometimes, when you eat the grass-fed, you get a little bit of, you kind of can taste the grass.
And some people love that.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it. And we've had people on here who that is what they do, and they really like it. Some people, well, you know.
If I just may say one thing, with regards to what Papa said, you know, the spice formula that they use, that Old World uses for the snap dogs, is not their regular Old World spice formula.
I had a feeling that you probably set your specifications.
Correct.
That's interesting. So you're really passionate about dogs.
I am.
So am I, and I can't wait for the next break because it's almost my turn. What I'm going to do is go for one of the spicy...
The sausage?
So, yeah, tell me about the spices.
We have to call it a sausage because of the per-serving fat content, but it's the same emulsion that they use in the hot dog. So really the best way to describe it would be a jumbo spicy hot dog.
Okay, and so you got a lot of paprika in that?
Red pepper.
Ah!
I mean, it has paprika too, but for some color. But
Zach, have you ever heard anyone who says paprika?
Paprika. Sorry,
paprika.
Zach. Sorry about that. Okay. Paprika. Thank you. Thank you.
By the way, did you get a ticket on your way up here?
You know, I forgot to mention that when we started the show, but I was I had to do some deliveries downstate earlier. I was running behind schedule. I kind of put the pedal to the metal a little bit, and I just want to thank the state trooper on I-87. I told him I was coming, to be on your show, Ray.
Really?
And he let me go.
Well, that doesn't work for me, I'll tell you that. Good for you. So, let's go to Chris in Cropseyville. Chris, you're on with Keith Thorman.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, you were talking about potatoes with hot dogs, and I have a recipe. My mom used to fix this for us when we were kids, and it probably was because she didn't have anything else thought out, but we thought it was the greatest meal. She would split a hot dog down the middle, and she would stuff it with leftover mashed potatoes, put a piece of cheddar cheese across the top, and put paprika on the top, and shove it under the broiler for a few minutes, and boy, were they good.
Oh, my gosh, that I've never heard of that recipe
yeah,
before.
That's amazing.
I know, I know. I tried it on my family, and they never liked it. So now that my kids are moved out, I have it for lunch all by myself.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned about the mashed potatoes, because when I had my cart on 55th and Broadway, one day I brought a package of instant potatoes where all you have to do is heat the water and add the potatoes. And I could do that, you know, in a little container there with the Sterno's. I was able to heat the water hot enough and make mashed potatoes. And one day I started putting mashed potatoes on the hot dog. It was a cold day too.
did anyone buy them?
A couple people did, and they looked at me rather strangely. But it turns out that I wasn't really, according to the health department, allowed to do that, because this was what they call a non-processing cart, where you're not allowed to cook any kind of foods. You're only allowed to reheat pre-cooked foods. So we didn't get in any trouble, but I didn't want to, so we stopped that.
Well, Chris, thanks for that call. We appreciate it.
Sure, try it. You'll enjoy it.
Thank you.
I just might. You know, before we get to the break, I'm going to talk about toppings, and I have to bring my children involved into this. Several of my kids, and I believe this to be heresy, put mayo on their hot dogs. Have you ever, in all your time in New York City, have anyone say, "Can I get mayo on this?"
I've never heard that request before.
You've never heard it?
Never heard mayo on a hot dog. It's the first ever.
Okay, so now you know that my kids are truly insane. But they love it. They absolutely love it, man. So as a ratio of your customers in New York City, ketchup to mustard.
You know, you'd be amazed how many people want ketchup, but not...
It's not bad, by the way. It's not terrible tasting.
It's taboo in a lot of places.
It's taboo, but it doesn't taste bad. What have you ever had a hot dog with ketchup?
I have.
Be honest.
I have.
It's
good,
isn't it?
I have. Yes. The kids seem to really like it with ketchup.
Yeah.
You know, mustard's a little too much for the kids. So the younger ones would definitely do ketchup over mustard. But mustard by far is the most popular condiment, you know, down in the city. And then, you know, after that would be mustard and sauerkraut. And then third in line would be the mustard, sauerkraut, and onions.
You're talking about the onion sauce or chopped onions?
The onion sauce.
Yeah.
You know, chopped onions with these guys in the city, I think you want to try and stay away from that.
You make a point. But I think the onion sauce is calling my name. Now, I don't know, is it wrong to get the spicy sausage with the onion sauce?
Oh, now that's a great combination.
Okay, well, you know what? We're going to do that. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551. Keith Thorman is our guest from Snapdog in New York City. Time for some food.
Support for WAMC comes from Uncle Sam's All-American Chocolate Factory, offering over 100 chocolates, including truffles, buttercrunch, and sea-salted caramels, located on Albany Street, Schenectady and Newton Plaza, Loudonville. UncleSamsCandy.com. The Chef Shop in Great Barrington, celebrating 25 years, offering tools and services for cooking enthusiasts, including Zwilling Knives, Le Creuset Cookware, cooking classes, and knife sharpening. TheChefShop.com. Stammel String Instruments, downtown Amherst and Poughkeepsie, providing sales, service, and rentals of violins, violas, cellos, and bows, restorations and appraisals, open Tuesday through Saturday, stammelstring.com. The Black Sheep, downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butter-scratch bakery, caterer, and cafe, offering fair trade coffee, blacksheepdeli.com. And Art Oh My, exploring the edge of art, music, dance, writing, and architecture for 25 years. ArtOhMy.org.
That's so good. I don't even want to do the rest of the show. So I got the spicy dog with the red onion sauce. And Dave Hopper, who is here, who does a podcast with Ashley Kinsey called Leftovers, I got the name right. And they're going to do another segment, which is going to be podcast only with Keith Norman. And so, Dave, you're a ketchup guy.
I am.
We were just talking about that.
I am.
Keith Norman thinks that ketchup on a dog, that's heresy. He brings it for the heretics.
I'm from Jersey. I'm used to getting that sort of treatment.
You're from Jersey?
I am.
And so in Jersey, that's pretty common?
I think it's just a family thing.
Okay. Well, you know, we've always thought you were a little strange, but I got to tell you, I don't mind the ketchup on
I'm
the dogs.
I'm a bloomer to the mustard. I like mustard on pretzels.
Oh, the onion sauce, though. And with the spicy dog, it's amazing.
I didn't
amazing,
mean to throw
dude.
Your child under the bus with the mayo.
Oh, don't worry. I say it every time. They say, I want mayo and mustard. And I say, what is wrong with you people? Believe me, they get it from me all the time. All right, so this email, we'll get back to the phones in a moment, 800-348-2551. This one came in from Bob and Troy. And Bob writes, if you're a kid who grows up allergic to ketchup, mustard, or the like, you end up enjoying your hot dogs plain. That exposes you to the variation in flavor of the dog itself. Some are significantly spicier than others. Can you talk about the spices often used?
You know, spice blend-wise, it's tough for me to actually know all the spices that they put in there. Like,
It'll vary, right?
They vary, you know. And so the individual spices themselves, the spice companies make blends.
Okay.
And, you know, basically what you do is you say, you know, okay, this is what I'm looking for. And they send you and you get someone makes a sample and they say, you know what, I want a little bit more of this and a little bit more of that. And or what you're looking for, like a little bit more of a garlic flavor, or I think cumin is also a spice that goes in there.
The but paprika.
I think that's a little bit more for color than it is for spice.
I just like the way you say it, so I'm going to throw it in there for almost everything. I got to tell you, man, that spicy dog has got some spice.
Thank you. You know, we did a little bit of research, and because we were kind of trying to figure out how much spice should this sausage really have. And what we found was that people who like spicy really like it spicy.
Yep.
So we said, you know what, none of this middle of the road, let's go for it. And we kicked it up.
And you can see basically that of my German extraction, I've had one big bite and I'm already in a full sweat. This is how it rolls in my household.
Did your nose start running?
No,
yet?
I'm good there. But I got the four. Usually it's flop sweat on these shows, but we're doing pretty well. It's actually the food that's doing it.
I want one too when we take the next
break.
Go
ahead, man. I'll take the call. You make a dog and you just leave your headphones on. You got a little slack there. Let's go over to Marla in Falls Village, Connecticut. How are things in Falls Village today, Marla?
I'm starving.
I got to tell you something now. Keith, who just has made dogs for everybody who wants them here, is making one for himself. He's still got his headphones on. So you go ahead and ask your question.
Okay. There's a roll called a New England roll.
Oh, yeah, and I love those.
Squarish, so you can brown them or toast them.
Yeah.
And it's just enough bread so you can put a ton of condiments on it.
Now, do you ever see the New England rolls down your way?
Is that like a hot dog?
Yeah, at Stop and Shop Big Y.
I was talking to Keith, who's downstate.
Is that more of like of a top split type of hot dog bun?
It's top split, and it's got it almost looks like you can see the bread on the side, so it's not all crust. And they're common up here, and in like if you go to Maine, that's how you get your lobster roll, in that, and they're very good too.
I've seen it on the lobster roll.
So that's something that you I guess downstate they just don't do.
Well, you see one thing that I when you take a bite, the ratio of meat to bread, okay, when you in a biteful. To me, this is an important factor. If your hot dog is too skinny and the bread is too fat, then you're really tasting more bread than you're tasting meat. So the ratio, the sizing of the bread to the hot dog, this is all very important. You know, a lot of people don't think much about when you think about hot dogs. There are so many intricate little, you know, tidbits about the hot dog, you know. And so the bread to meat ratio is very important when it comes to selecting the bun.
But I'm with you. I do like the New England hot dog rolls. And, yeah, my mom would often get them and put a little butter on them and grill them right in the pan.
We put a little garlic powder on it.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah, with the garlic powder.
Yeah, or maybe
good.
Paprika.
Yeah.
Even.
Paprika.
I'm kidding.
Paprika.
Hey, Marla, thanks a lot for the call.
Okay, back to the grill.
Oh, all right, thank you very much. Bye. 800-348-2551. You do good work. And now that we have a ton of calls, I can finish this dog, which is, I'm not joking, not engaging in hyperbole because you were my guest. Really good, man.
Thank you, Rick.
Really, really
good. I appreciate
that. Let's go to Rob in Spencer, Mass. Rob, you're on.
Hey, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for taking my call. Good afternoon. I just wanted to know your opinion on deep-fried hot dogs.
My opinion is it's a great idea. I've never had one.
I was too busy chewing. Right. I couldn't hear.
Okay, he said, what's your opinion of deep-fried hot dogs?
I've never had one.
I've never had. Have you had them, Rob?
Okay, I have had them, and they're fabulous, yeah. I just didn't know if that was a big thing in New York.
You know what? Now that you mention it, there's a place in New Jersey, Southern Jersey, that's really famous for that, and they have a special name for it, too.
So how would you do that? Now, would you cook them and then deep fry them, get them cold and then deep fry them? How do you do that?
I don't know how.
I think that's the way it's done, but I'm not sure. I've just eaten them. I haven't made any.
You know, as an aside here, Rob, up here at the Altamont Fair, I took my kids up there last summer. It's coming up. Deep fried Twinkies, really good too. Really, really good. Deep fried Oreos. Well,
I haven't tried those, but maybe someday.
Maybe deep fried butter. Sure. I'll get a catheter and we'll go to town.
Hey, well, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks a lot. Well, there you go. Deep fried dogs, maybe the next. You probably couldn't do that anywhere near a cart and have the health department not shut you down. Go around with a deep fryer. Oh, the trouble you could get into. Let's go over to Lou in Pittsfield. Lou, you're on.
Yeah, I can't believe no one's mentioned sour cream on your hot dogs.
You got a surprise look out of Keith Dorman here.
Wow. And I'm going to tell you, with that paprika sauce, that sounds like it would be a really great combination. But I normally have it with yellow mustard, which is normal, and then some sweet relish.
Yeah.
And some cheese.
By the way, before we go on, Lou, it's pronounced paprika, just so you know.
Oh, yeah. I heard that.
So
yeah.
You put sour cream and paprika on a dog?
No, sour cream. Normally, I said with that paprika and onion.
Oh.
Because of paprikash, that would be a good combination.
I got to tell you, the onion sauce is great.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great idea. I can't wait to try that.
Really?
Does anyone have any sour cream here in the studio?
Zach usually brings a couple of gallons in with him. No?
No, not today? Because
okay.
With that onion sauce and that sour,
that's
be
a great idea. Well, there you go, Lou.
Good. I'd throw it out there. I always every time I have a hot dog, I put sour cream on it.
So, Lou, if you go down to the city and you see that at a Snap Dog cart, and you see sour cream, you go, you know, that was my idea. This one is on you. You say that.
All right.
Lou, thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551 is our number. Keith Dorman is our guest from Snapdog out of New York City, down in Manhattan, Brooklyn, and the Bronx. You look for the orange umbrella, don't you know? Well, next time you bring an umbrella.
Actually, you know what? Where some of these guys got a hold of my umbrellas, and they're not selling the Snapdogs.
Oh.
So, yeah.
So what do you call some muscle in on that?
On our website, we have a locations page, which has all the locations of the true legitimate Snapdog carts.
So when you get a location, I mean, is this like a taxi medallion? This is coveted?
Well, each cart is independently owned and operated, but we sign an agreement with the cart operator that they're going to serve Snapdog.
Oh.
So those guys are legit. Other guys have the umbrellas.
That's New York City.
And they're not.
You.
Yeah.
Dog
actually,
eat dog.
You know what's
right?
Going on in the city right now is they're selling hot dogs as beef hot dogs, but they're made from mechanically separated chicken.
But that's not you.
Not Snapdog. Well, see, that's the true way to be able to tell what hot dog you're really getting is because the name Snapdog and the word beef is on the side of the hot dog.
And so I have not had a chance to tweet it, but I actually, because I had the bigger dog, the spicy dog, I was able to get a picture of the name monogrammed right in the dog.
Right. So if you see
impressive.
The orange umbrella or not, you ask to see the hot dog, and then you know for sure.
Brilliant, man.
You can't rip anybody off. If it doesn't say Snapdog, don't eat it.
Let's go to Ed in Kingston. Ed, you're on.
Hey, Ray. Yeah, I was just I'm with you on the ketchup on a hot dog. But I grew up in Germany, and the way we, you know, they sell it all over the streets in Berlin is with curry on the ketchup. So they sprinkle curry powder on the ketchup, and it's delicious.
Well, I've never heard of that one. How about
you?
Yeah,
and I was in Germany in March, and I had one of those curry dogs. It was good.
Brilliant. I mean, I'm going to try that now. So you just took the powder and put it right on?
Exactly. That's how they do it. But they also sell curry ketchup in Germany. But the way they would do it is that, you know, a bratwurst, they would sprinkle, they'd put ketchup on it and sprinkle curry powder right on it. And it's absolutely delicious.
Okay. Next time I grill, I'm doing that. Next time I do brats. Hey, Ed, thanks for the call.
Oh, thank you. Bye-bye.
Have a good weekend. 800-348-2551. Keith Dorman is our guest here. We talk dogs. Who knew dogs would be that popular? I knew. I love dogs. Let's go to Jennifer in Pine Bush. Jennifer.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just have a recipe I thought I'd share. My husband is from Brazil, and he does hot dogs fairly different, but it is delicious.
Okay.
He boils them in crushed tomatoes, and he cuts out bell pepper and onion and throws that in there and a little bit of water to make a sauce. So the hot dogs come out flavored like that sauce. Then he takes a bun, like a club roll, and toast it with mayo. You get two hot dogs per roll.
Yeah.
And then on top, you have Parmesan cheese and little matchstick potato crust.
Wow.
So you get the potato in there.
That's the Brazilian way? That's amazing.
It's the Brazilian way.
So I knew, I've heard about the Brazilian wax, but not the Brazilian hot dog. That's amazing.
That's a different thing.
Yeah, it is.
I wonder if they're serving them at the Olympics right now. You know,
Jennifer,
they probably are. It's very popular, and they do street vendors. They do all kinds of different toppings. But
that's amazing.
That's how my husband makes it.
The potato sticks.
You gotta try it.
That's a great idea. The potato
great
sticks.
Great ideas, love Jennifer. That. Thank you. Great ideas all around on this program. Jim in Coymans. Jim, you're on.
Hi. I just wanted to mention that the type of roll that you described, the New England roll.
Yeah.
Your guest, what's his, Keith, is it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, true.
Yeah, you'd be more familiar with it. It's the same roll that they serve at Needick's.
I don't know if there are too many Needick's still around.
Yeah, well, you know the rolls that I meant, right? How they press them and stuff.
Okay, yeah, yeah, there you go. Yes,
same rolls.
Jim.
Okay.
It's called differently up here.
Thank you,
anyway,
sir.
Anyway, thanks a lot. I'll have to try some of your dogs.
Appreciate it, Jim. Appreciate that. Over to Ann in Ulster County. Ann, you're on.
Hi, the lady that talked about stuffed hot dogs reminded me when my children were younger, I used to stuff hot dogs. Like she said, I'd split them, and I took mashed potatoes, and I grated in some smoked Gouda, some really good cheese from a local butcher.
Yeah.
And put it in the oven till it browned on top. And boy, they loved them. I mean, you can't eat just one. They were delicious.
That
and the smoky potato through it was really good.
Yeah, that smoked Gouda in there. Wow. That's great.
And thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome, and thank you.
Appreciate it. You see, I knew you would come up with some ideas if you came up here to do this show.
Yeah, I'm taking notes right here.
This is great. All right, let's get a couple of more calls in before we wrap it up. Chris in Monterey, Mass. Chris, you're on.
Yeah, hi. I have the name of the deep-fried hot dog that you guys were talking about.
Oh, yeah?
It's called the Zinger.
Zinger.
And it's from Rutz Hut.
Rutz.
In Jersey.
That's right. That's right.
And I grew up eating them, and they're amazing.
Ah. Do you try doing them at home, Chris?
No, I don't have a deep fryer. And you know what? It's almost worth the trip to go down and get a Zinger. And they actually rerouted Route 20 in that town to go around Rutz Hut because of that hot dog.
Wow.
You should make a trip across the meadows. It's right near Passaic area and get a Zinger. I'm not sure what town it's in really.
So, Chris, are they putting the hot dog in some kind of batter, you know, kind of like
No batter. Just deep-fried. It just explodes.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I was a little kid when I was eating them, so now I'm kind of a cook and an older person, but... I'm not sure, but I think it was just deep fried and just amazing bit of goodness.
Oh, thank you, Chris, for that call. We appreciate it very much. And let's go over to Eric in Saratoga. Eric, you're on with Keith Dorman.
Hey, about a minute here. I just wanted to touch and say the currywurst is the best. And I'm so surprised that someone else wants to call on the show about it immediately after I called in to mention this, but that is pretty much the only way they eat them in Germany. That is like quintessential street food.
So you just put the powder right on them, Eric?
I have no idea, but you ask for a currywurst, they go back in the cart for a second and come out with your worst. I don't actually think it's a hot dog. I think it's its own special type of thing.
Oh, so it's
like
cooked
a knockwurst
in.
Or a beef first or something like that.
I gotcha. Okay, because I was just, you know, I would put curry powder right on it, but that's not the way you do it, Keith?
You know, when I was in Germany, it was like there was a curry. It was like a curry sauce that
okay.
the I think it was a bratwurst that I had that was simmered in this sauce, and yeah, it was delicious.
All right, so I'll have to try to find do a little research on that. Okay, very quickly now, only about 15 seconds, Maddie. You've been waiting a while. We're almost out of time. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm so glad I got on this call. I, to extend the curry thread here, I make a curry sauerkraut, and it's also really good on hot dogs. So it's a lacto-fermented gochu curry kraut, and also kimchi on hot dogs is really awesome. And you can put some mayo on there, too.
What's kimchi?
Kimchi is a Korean-style fermented mix of veggies, basically a Korean version of sauerkraut. So it's spicy, gingery, and sour.
Genius. Hey,
crunchy, too, no?
And crunchy, yeah.
Yes, you get some texture in there.
Well, Maddie, thanks a lot. You'll be the last one today. All right, Keith Dorman, fantastic work. What is the website?
SnapdogNYC.com.
You made an awful lot of people happy. I know you're going in to do the podcast now over in Studio D with Ashley and Dave, and that'll be on forever. This show will be on forever at WAMC.org. I'll put it up in about 15 minutes.
I'm sorry it's over. I had so much fun. Ray, you're spectacular.
Man,
thank you.
This was great. And you should get the Nobel Prize for these dogs. Well done. Support comes from Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, located in the Old Town Hall, Sunderland, Massachusetts. Open Tuesday through Sunday at 5, featuring outdoor dining on the patio and front porch throughout the summer. BlueHeronDining.com. Gloriosa & Company, Ashfield, Massachusetts, new barn wedding venue and heated antique greenhouse, offering tailored catering, garden to vase flowers, and four-bed and breakfast rooms, GloriosaCo.com. Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer, offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tasting Saturday afternoons, SpiritHAUS.com. And Berkshire Botanical Garden, Stockbridge, hosting Family Fridays. Meet wildlife rehabilitator Tim Riccardi August 12th with a selection of birds of prey. BerkshireBotanical.org for events. Thanks again to Keith Dorman for being here. Thanks to you for listening and all the great calls. Thanks to Zach Malloy. Zach, it's hot dog time. You've waited long enough. Thanks to Barb King, who took your calls. Our producer, Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Ray Graff. Have a great weekend. News is next.